2 Timothy chapter 4, from verse 14 to verse 22. The closing passage, my closing discourse on 2 Timothy. And this, of course, is Paul's final book. This is the last thing he will write. These are the last things he will say. What do we see of Paul here? Well, we've seen him in prison. He knows he's about to die. He knows that his end has come. Verse 6, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure." He looks back on his life and he knows he's fought the good fight. "I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." He looks forward to where he's going and what is in store for him. "Now there's in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, the final day when Christ comes, the day of the resurrection, the day of the judgment. And not only to me," he says, "but also to all who have longed for his appearing." It's not so much the intermediate state. It's the final glory when Christ comes. And as we've seen, he wanted company. Paul had been deserted. He was virtually friendless now. Luke was with him, but he wanted Mark brought back. "Because he's helpful to me in my ministry," verse 11. But he was alone. He wanted the cloak because he was cold. But he wanted the scrolls, especially the parchments, verse 13. He wanted to go on working, studying, writing, to the end. He's deprived. He's suffering. He's dying. But still, he wants to work for Christ. And now in our passage, he's not a bitter man, even though he's in prison and dying. But still, he's not as soft as an old shoe. "Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done." He doesn't burst out in a series of bitter outrages. He leaves his reputation, the judgment, to Christ. Christ is coming. The day of judgment is coming. "I've longed for his appearing. And at that time he will put all things right. The Lord will repay him for what he has done." But he warns, still warning at the end, "Timothy, you watch. You must be on your guard against him. Not only for your own personal safety, above all, because this man opposes the gospel. He strongly opposed our message." I don't use the word message for preaching. The message is the gospel, the great revelation of God. And this is what makes Paul tick. "We want the gospel out," he says. "The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." But Paul, verse 16, had been deserted. At his first trial, nobody stood with him. All believers left him. But again, he's not bitter. An old man, you might say, although perhaps he's not so very old. A suffering man, a dying man. But he's not getting his own back. I see very different here. Is the life of David at his end. Is his end when he brings vengeance upon the men of his lifetime. But not with Saul. No, not with Paul here. "May it not be held against them," he said. But still, they had deserted him. But Christ had never deserted him. "The Lord stood with me. I will never leave you, nor forsake you," verse 17. "Christ stood by me," he said. "He gave me strength. And what is more, though men were trying to shut me up, though men were trying to stop me writing, to silence my tongue, the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me, the message," again the gospel, "might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it." And of course, he'd recorded his words. He'd recorded the gospel. He'd written it out, and the Holy Spirit preserved it. And look at it today. Here am I, 2015, discoursing on these words. I wonder if Paul could have had any concept of this. I'm sure he could not. That even now the gospel, his writings, the apostolic writings, are being proclaimed. And countless men and women are hearing it. Millions have heard it and believed and been converted to our Lord Jesus Christ. The message has been fully proclaimed, is being proclaimed, and will go on being proclaimed. And all the Gentiles might hear it. Christ delivered me from the lion's mouth, whether literally or whether metaphorically here. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. That doesn't mean to say I won't suffer. That doesn't mean to say that I won't die. I will. But he will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is what makes Paul tick right to the very end. I want the scrolls. I want the parchments. Of course I need warm clothing. I need company if you can give some to me. Yes, but it's Christ who is with me, and it's Christ who is preached, and he will be glorified, and must be glorified forever. Amen. In my own little experience, I can testify how the gatekeepers have shut the gates against me. The publishers wouldn't publish my stuff, I'm sure. The pulpit owners won't open the pulpit to me in many cases. They're closing it against me for different reasons, whatever those reasons might be. If it was all the same reason, I would listen very carefully to what they say. But it's not the same reason, and I can see what's behind it. But by God's grace, though I have been largely silenced by modern technology and God's providence, my words have broken over the gatekeepers, broken through these closed gates, climbed over the publishing editors, and now they're being spread worldwide. Praise God for it. And one thing that makes me tick, forgive these personal references, but I'm the only person I know in this way, I can only speak in this way, can't I? But Abel, being dead, yet speaks. When my poor, lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, maybe even then these words, maybe even of this discourse will be sounding, and the gospel will be sounding everywhere. That's what I want to preach, Christ and his gospel. Paul rejoiced in the Philippian letter when he was in prison. Though he couldn't preach, men outside were preaching Christ because of his suffering. Some were strengthened by his sufferings, encouraged, and he rejoiced in that Christ was preached. But some were preaching Christ to offend Paul, to hurt him. But still he rejoiced. Why? Because Christ is preached. Remember the story told of George Whitefield. I don't know whether it's apocryphal, but I've read it. Two men went to hear Whitefield preach, to copy him, to mimic him. And he was an easy man to mimic. A stout, pudgy little man with a squint and so on. And they came back, and I suppose they went to a drinking house, and one man stood on a bench or a stool and pretended to be Whitefield and started to preach. And people were converted. God, despite the persecutions, will have his gospel preached that all the Gentiles might hear it. And the Lord will take his word out. Paul closes with greetings. Priscilla, Aquila, and the others. He wants Timothy to come, verse 21. But there are greetings to others and from others. The Lord be with your spirit, verse 22. Grace be with you. No bitterness, no rancor, no grudges, no taking revenge. Warning, yes. But above all, Christ, right to the end, preaching the gospel, the message. That's the gospel. Looking forward to Christ putting all things right in the final judgment. Christ restoring all the reputations and everything else. Christ honoring his people. Christ being exalted now. To him be glory forever and ever. The triune God. Amen. Well, may we have such a spirit. As we grow old, as we reach our dying day, may we not become bitter, brother and sister. May we not bear grudges. May we not become cynical. but maybe to the very end, be doing all we can to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to exalt Christ and to lift up Christ, so that the message of the gospel may go on and on and on, further and further and wider and wider. And may we do what we can now, so that even when we are dead, what we have tried to do for Christ will still live on and be used of God. May these words of mine and the words that I write now and long into the future, as long as time shall be a blessing, a convicting and a converting to sinners, and an edification to his people, to God's people. The Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Satan can't overthrow us. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. To Christ, then, to the Lord, to the Lord be glory forever and ever. Amen.